ask that you, by the Holy Spirit, would give us revelation of your presence. You'd open the eyes of our hearts to hear your voice, to see you, to experience you, that your word would transform us and change us and touch us. Father, we just ask, by the power and the presence of your Spirit, you would come and meet with us, as you've already done, as we've been worshipping and praising you. Let's let your presence rest on us right now. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Okay. Awesome. We've been looking at preparing for destiny, and this is number 7 of Preparing for Destiny series, which is almost finished. There's a few more. And part of preparing our destiny is to deal with two things: to build up our spirit so we can engage with God, because we are a spiritual person. We're created a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. And our soul, which has been used to being in charge of our life, needs to be refined and restored and brought back into order, so that our spirit leads our soul and our soul directs our body, so that we can manifest the glory of God here on earth and be sons of light. And that's God's heart for us. We've seen this picture a while ago, that there are different areas in our lives. We have a spirit in which the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell. We have a heart, which is where our subconscious is. We have a conscious mind. We also have a seat of government, where the throne of God is in our life and where we are supposed to rule. And God desires that we do that. We've seen that we need to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice so that God can transform us with our permission, that we allow him to change us from the inside out. We've also seen that we have lots of things that happen in our lives that if we allow them to touch our lives, but we don't use them to transform our lives, they can just make us worse. So things happen to us that we react to, and those things end up being things in our hearts, weeds, stones, memories, which are negative if we do not deal with them correctly. And we looked at how we can do with that, and with that picture. And the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the seat of rest. So we can live in the eye of the storm. No matter what's going on around us, we can live in the center where we're at peace and rest, just like Jesus was when he was in the boat and the disciples were panicking. He was asleep because he was secure and safe, because he knew what he'd said, that they were going to the other side, and he was able to live in the benefit of the truth of God's word. Jesus was our example. If we're going to live in that place of rest, we need to know how to come from a place of peace and joy. Peace and joy cannot be obtained through our own means. They're obtained through our relationship with God. So they come from relationship, not circumstances. So we can live in peace when everything around us seems chaotic. We can live in a place of joy when everything else around us can seem sad and hopeless. But because of our relationship with God, he wants us to experience that. But for us, we need to have a attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, which is a choice. We can choose whether we are thankful for what we've been given, or whether we're disappointed with what we've not yet received. And if we're thankful for what we've been given, we're much more likely to receive what is yet promised. Praise is an attitude and a choice where we can rejoice always, because God is at work in our lives. Living and giving a sacrifice of praise is a choice. And we can treat the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties that we face as joy and an opportunity to grow and be transformed. It's a choice. Or we can let those things that happen to us affect us negatively and tie into what's happened to us in the past, and they can stop us going forward in our future. Jesus was able to rebuke the storm that was going on from that place of peace. And if we're going to see things change around us, we need to be in that place of peace. Now, the seat of rest, we said last week, is the kingdom of God within us. It's the manifestation of the fullness of God's government with us, so that we bring revelation of that to the world around us. It's the place of your government where the kingdom authority comes into our lives, and then we can command things around us to be subject to the realm of God's kingdom. We have authority to change things. We can change the world around us to come into line with God's purposes for our life if we can live in that place of faith, in that place of the seat of rest, so that God's government is manifested through us. And last week we looked at that picture, that it's a process of training in which we learn to be a servant of God and a bond servant, one who chooses not to go free, a steward who's given responsibility and resources, and a friend who's given relationship and revelation of the purposes of God. And as then, through that process, we become a Lord and a King and a Son as Jesus is raised higher into our lives. As we were singing this morning, we lift him higher, and we can lift him higher two ways. We can decrease, so he increases, or he lifts us up because he's lifted higher in our lives. He becomes King, we can become Lord. And his desire for us is to come into the fullness of his promises for his kingdom. So we change the world in which we live. Now, for that to take place, we need to build our spirit. And we've looked at giving God first place, praying and singing in tongues and waiting on the Lord, learning to be still and to engage God in that place of rest. But one of the major areas we have to understand in terms of building our spirit is to know how to meditate on the Word of God. Proverbs 4:20-23 is a good scripture that talks about how you meditate on the Word of God. And I'm going to look at this a little bit today and then over the next couple of weeks, that we really get hold of how we can meditate on the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is living and active. It is alive, and it has power if we focus and fix our eyes on it and allow the power of the Word to transform us. And so we can live in the power of the Word. As we meditate on it, it's like having a 2D experience that becomes a 3D experience. I've got a 3D TV, and the difference between watching something in 2D and 3D is enormous. When you watch something in 2D, you can see what's going on. When you watch something in 3D, you feel like you're part of what's going on. A picture paints 1,000 words. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. The Bible is full of stories and illustrations that enable us not just to hear something that's being said, but to participate in what's going on in the Word. So we can have experiences and visions and pictures and revelation. We can actually see things and hear things and experience things practically for ourselves. Here, we can see things sometimes in worship, pictures, visions. The Bible talks about trances, all sorts of experiential things where we can experience God's presence, because you can't know something biblically with intellectual understanding. The word know in the Bible means to know intimately by personal experience. So if we've not experienced something personally, we cannot say we know about it. We need to know it by first-hand encounter. And God wants us to receive those revelations. Now, when we receive them, it's really important that we don't just pass them off. Well, I had this picture, or I had this dream, or I had this vision. We write them down, we journal them, then we can go back and review what we've seen and what God has said, and we can revisit that place and get more importance and more revelation from it. So it's important in meditation that if you go back over something and you keep looking at it, drawing life from it, it shows that you value it. And value means that it gets stored and is something we can go back to. We don't want to be a consumer of the Word. It's like you can sit here and you can listen to me teach you something, or you can be a producer of the Word, in which you take what the Word says, you apply it to your own life, and it brings fruit to your own life. So I can share my experiences of heaven and going to heaven and having heavenly encounters with the angels and meeting the men in white linen and meeting with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father and all those type of experiences, which are great, but God wants you to have them. And you won't get them by not doing the same things I did. In other words, you have to practice. You have to put into practice basic things. Meditating is really important. And it's really important that you just take the word of God and apply it to your own life. It's like tomatoes. Now you think, what has it got to do with tomatoes? Well, I was talking to someone this week, and this little illustration came into my head while I was speaking to them. If you like tomatoes and you like eating them, the general thing to do would be to go and buy them from the supermarket. That is a consumer. You go and buy something that someone else has put in all the effort to grow. Or you can learn how to grow tomatoes for yourself. Therefore, you need to understand the soil. You need to have tomato seeds. When they start growing into plants, you transplant them. Then you put some support, some bamboos in for them to grow up. They start getting flowers. And then you start pruning the branches that haven't got any flowers on them so that you get more branches with flowers. Then you make sure they've got water and sun and shelter. And eventually you get tomatoes. Now, when you eat a tomato, people have grown tomatoes in their life. When you eat a tomato that you've grown, how much better does it taste than one you buy from a supermarket? Even Tesco's finest. It tastes wonderful because it's fresh from the plant and you've actually put something into it to grow it. And you get a sense of achievement out of something and it tastes so much better. So you can hear me speak about my relationship with God and my encounters with the Holy Spirit and with the angels, and that can maybe create a desire in you for something, but you have to go away and you have to get that for yourself. You have to be willing to get hold of the truth of God's word, spend time in the presence of God, learn how to meditate on the word, learn how to speak in tongues inside, outside, build up your spirit so that you can encounter God for yourself in that way. Then you will have first-hand revelation of the relationship of God as Father, of Jesus as a friend, as the Holy Spirit, as a guide. God wants us to have revelation. But it doesn't happen automatically. We have to put some effort in. You know, if you plant a seed and just leave it, you may get some fruit from it. But if you plant a seed and you tend the seed, you will get fruit from it. And God's desire is that from our relationship with Him and His Word, the fruit becomes something we live from and we eat, which transforms us and enables us. Now, there are some experiences of heaven which aren't in the Bible specifically. Jesus talked about greater works than He did. And there are things when you go to heavenly realms which you may not find specifically in the Bible. But then again, there aren't glasses in the Bible or cars or computers or screens either. But we still use them. So there's lots of things we need to understand. But everything we need to do, we need to use the Word of God as a plumb line. Does my experience line up with God's principles of His character and His nature? Because then I'm safeguarded. I don't go off into airy-fairy things which may have no connection to God. Because, you know, sometimes the enemy will also try and draw us astray. But we don't need to be frightened of that if we've got a clear revelation of who God is and we know His ways. Because He will never do anything in our vision or a dream which goes counter to His word. And that's a good safeguard in these things when we're meditating. So the word of God becomes our starting point for future experience. So you can use God's word. When you meditate on it, you can picture it. Use your imagination. We've all got an imagination and God wants us to use it because He's given us an imagination so we can see things. So we can picture things. So we can visualize things. None of those things are wrong. They're all very biblical things. But you have to learn how to use them. So the word then becomes a starting point to experience. So if you want to encounter the heavenly realms, say, well, what's heaven like? Well, go and read Revelation 4 and 5. And it talks about God's throne. It talks about thunders and lightnings. It talks about the seven spirits of God, four living creatures, angels, four creatures living before the throne of God, all sorts of things like the 24 elders. There's a whole lot of things that you can read. If you want to think about angels or you want to think about God's throne, read Ezekiel 1 or Ezekiel 10 because it has pictures in there which describe things. So the word then becomes something which you can engage with and it can open a door to encounter and experience. And so by meditating on something that you're reading, you can actually enter into it and experience it yourself, which is what happened for me. So that word becomes a doorway to heavenly encounters. And God wants us to have those. But the word also can be an anchor for the experiences that we have when we have heavenly encounters. So I've had lots of encounters with God in the heavenly realms in which I went back then and found the word to give it a foundation and an anchor so that then I could then go back there again and use the word, making sure that this was at a good biblical foundation. And I had lots of experiences like that because I mostly had my experiences without necessarily meditating on the word. Some of them did, but most of them just were experiences. But I went back and found the word that backed up that. I had encounters where God took me and opened up scrolls of my life and showed me things, and I'm like, whoa, what's that? But then I found in Revelation there was a scroll written on front and back which would be opened by Jesus so that you can see things in your life. So you can find the truth of God's word that anchors it solidly, then you can go back to it, which is really, really important. Now, the body has three memory storage systems which contain neurons and things where things are stored. Now, the brain is the first one, which is in our skull, and our conscious memory operates within the brain. But also in our heart, physically, there is more neurological activity and thinking that goes on in the heart than does in the brain. So much so that when they tested it, they found they could find electrical activity about 12 to 13 inches from the head, but from the heart, 6 to 7 feet. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, our heart thinks. That's where everything gets stored, in our subconscious memory. And also our gut. Our gut contains neurons from the throat right down to the other end. I'm going further than that. And something about instinctive memory. You know, you get gut feelings, gut instincts. It's something that God uses in that whole thing to actually enable us to feel things. Now, our nervous system connects the whole body together, and there's lots of things I could go into there, but I haven't got time today. But in our brain, we have a left side and a right side. The left side is the bit where we're more intellectual, it's where language comes from, it's where mathematics is done, it's very much more cognitive. The right side of the brain is very much more intuitive, where we have visions, where we have imagination, where creativity is there, musical ability, spatial awareness, all those things are in the right side. And often, it's like we're one-sided or the other. Now, I used to be very left-sided because I was brought up as a scientist. I learnt biochemistry. I learnt to be logical. And I could use my mind in that sort of way. And then quite a number of years ago, someone talked to me about meditating and how you could meditate in the Word of God. And I trained myself to become right-brained. So now I am much more right-sided than I am left. Now, there's a balance, because we need to use both, but we don't want one ruling the other. We want them working together to enable us to function correctly. And the Bible, in meditation, uses the right side of our brain. When we speak in tongues, it's the right side of our brain. Even though when we speak in English or another language, it's the left side of our brain that works. And they tested this scientifically, and they put those things, monitors, and they showed the different colors that go on when certain things activities. When people prayed in tongues, the right side of their brain activated. Because it's the intuitive side, and it's not actually something you try and do. It comes from a flow of the spirit. So the right side is intuitive, creative, and visionary, which is really where we need to learn to meditate from that right side of our brain and to activate it so that we're actually able to see and experience those things and connect. Because God speaks from a flow of revelation from the inside, which is spontaneous thoughts and pictures and things and feelings on the right side of our brain. And often, if you're not used to tuning into them, they can just flip past and you miss them. You know, there's loads and loads of signals in this room. Radio signals, TV signals, all sorts of things that we can't see, but they're here. If you were to have a radio and tune it in and turn it on, you would be able to hear what that is. Turn on a TV, used to be when you had analog signals, I think it's the same with digital signals with your aerial, you can pick up and tune in to the picture of what is being broadcast. Now, God is broadcasting signals all the time. They flow through our spirit and they're projected into the right side of our brain so we can experience and hear his voice. We can see things, visions, pictures, and we can experience revelation that comes in our spirit. We do that through meditation. See, our imagination can play back experiences that we've had in life. We do that all the time. It's called nostalgia. Something, maybe a film that you've watched, or it could even be a song that's had a memory, or even a smell or a taste, can take you back to an experience that you had, and you can imagine it. You can remember it. And you can, and some of those can be very negative, some of them can be quite positive. But our imagination works in that way. Now, our imagination can also be the screen where God projects things. It's got a screen there with a projector. God is projecting images. We need to have a screen which can pick up those images to give us spiritual perception. Now, our imagination can also receive images from our soul, from our subconscious. And it's like this is projected on the front. But if you go to Trinity Church, they've got a projector that projects from the rear. You still see a picture, but it's coming, one from the front and one from the rear. Well, it's like we need to be more hearing what God is projecting than what is just coming from our own subconscious. Because we don't want to be led from our subconscious, from our past experience, which are negative. We want to be led from the Spirit of God, who wants to lead us and guide us and direct us all the time. So we need to learn to let those spirit projections rule over those soul things. So we get a flow of revelation so we can follow God and do the things that he's called us to do. Now we have to learn how to do these things. You know, every child, when they're up to the age of 3 or 4, 99% of them are creative and can see imaginary friends and different things. Some of them may well be angels. They can see the angelic much easier than adults. They have the ability to operate in that intuitive way. By the time they're 7, only 10% have. What happens between 3 and 7? School. Because school trains you to use the left side of your brain and not value the right side. And so we have to learn. You see, in that first few years, little children are very spiritually aware. Because they can see spiritual things, but because it's not reinforced and encouraged, they forget it. And all of us knew how to engage the spiritual realms when we were children, little ones. But because we were not taught how to value that or see its importance, we forgot it. We got amnesia. Then we have to get born again by the Spirit of God, and then we have to relearn how to engage our spirit and see things from God's perspective. We had it when we were born, we lost it, and it was trained out of us mostly, and then we have to re-engage it. So we have to relearn how to do it. Now, I've used this illustration before, and I'm only just going to do it briefly. How does the mind work? How does the memory work? Effectively, everything you see, smell, hear, taste, touch, goes in through various pathways into your conscious brain. So what you see is seen as an image upside down, inside on your retina of your brain, which goes from the optic nerve into your brain somewhere, and you interpret that picture. So you are actually, I'm seeing you, you're sat out there. I'm actually not seeing you there, am I? I'm seeing you inside my brain. And my brain is interpreting those electrical signals, turning the image the right way up, so I can actually see you as you are. Now, I learnt that spatial awareness as a child. I learnt that when I saw an image, it meant you were this far away. I learnt that by touching my mum when she was feeding me and different things. You learn those sorts of processes. Everything goes into the brain. Now, there's a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which is a shredding machine. And all the irrelevant information that goes into your brain that is not important to you gets shredded. So, loads and loads of you take things in all the time. You see everything, you hear everything, you smell everything, but you don't remember it. Because most of it doesn't really matter too much. Those things that do matter can get stored. And it happens by repetition. For instance, if I walked into a room, into a new building I'd never been in before, and the lights went out, I would struggle to find my way out, because I wouldn't know where I was. Now, I could use my intelligence and get on my hands and knees and crawl around and try and feel my way out, but I wouldn't be able to see it. If I walked into this building and all the lights went out and it was pitch black, I could find my way out, because actually I've come in this building hundreds and hundreds of times, and my imagination would be able to show me, even though I couldn't see naturally, because that information has been stored inside. So I could describe this building and where it is to people, because I've been here and I remember, because it has some value, because I repeated it over and over again. Now, you know, without looking at the carpet, most of you could not tell me what the pattern is, even though you've seen it lots of times and you walked over it every time you walk in here. Now, I can tell you exactly what the pattern is. Three little dots going at different angles, different colours, because I've lain on it a lot. And I remember it, because it's something I've done lots of times. Now, when it comes to the Word of God and to things in the Spirit of God, if you don't repeat them, then they don't, as not treated as something that's important and valuable to you. Therefore, it gets shredded. That's why meditation is going over and over the truth, drawing from it, and you receive it, which gets stored because it's important, and you can live from what's stored within you. So value comes through repetition. So when we meditate, we repeat it, we mull over it, and we'll look at that in another time. It goes into our memory banks, and literally synapses close and form of what's called a neural pathway or a link to the memories that are stored in our heart, in our subconscious. So there are pathways. Now, trauma can form instant pathways. Sometimes something happens to you which is so severe that you form an instant memory and you can't get rid of that memory. People involved in wars or different sorts of things, lots of you have probably had some of these things happen to you. Or actually, it can be so severe that your brain forms pathways around the memory so you can't remember it. You block it out, or you dissociate from it, where multiple personalities and things like that come from, because experiences can be so severe, they traumatize us in such a way that we protect ourselves. That's how the brain works. Now, we also see all the spiritual things, but most of us can't remember them, because we've not got an anchor for it, because we don't go back and repeat the experiences, or we don't have them often enough. Now, if we want to grow in the realms of the Spirit, we need to introduce, by speaking in tongues, by meditating, having visions, dreams, pictures, in the Word, things to the right side of our brain. We can project things, particularly the Word, onto that side of our brain. And so, as we repeat that process, it gets stored. We meditate through confession, through repetition, by agreement with the truth. Those memories get stored, and they become something we can then use. And the revelation that comes from the Word of God becomes something that we start to live from, we start to operate in, we start to experience, and we start to manifest the truth of God's Word around our lives, because we've meditated on it. You see, at the end of the day, if you don't know what the Word of God says by experience, then you're being a parrot when you speak it. A parrot can speak words, but he doesn't know what they mean. And this is a very, very clever parrot. So a very clever parrot in a film called Rio, which, if any of you have seen that film, you know what I mean. But the reality is, we need to become someone who has the Word in us, so when we speak it with the same authority and power as the person who wrote it, the Holy Spirit. And it comes by learning how to meditate. Write it out, review it, revisit it, go over it. Experiences are forgotten if they're not used. Use it or lose it. So we need to go back and go back over the things that God's spoken to us. God used to speak to me all the time through the Bible. And I have my Bibles, and I've got loads of them, and I had used to get a different version every year, read it through. It's like they're all underlined, and they're all sort of highlighted with different colours, because God kept speaking to me. And one day, God spoke to me and actually said to me, when are you going to use your Bible for something more than a filing cabinet? Because he spoke these words, they would jump off the page. I think, well, that's really good. I would underline it or highlight it, and then go on and read something else. And he spoke to me actually saying, when are you going to get the truth and live from the truth of the words that I spoke to you? So it changed my whole understanding of how to read the Word of God. I started to read it, and when a word came out for me, the page, I stopped there until I drew every bit of truth I could from that word. I would sometimes spend a month, 2 months, or more on one verse. But actually, now those verses are actually things I live from. They are foundational truth to my life, and I live out of that revelation that God's given me. Because I didn't just sort of file it away. That was a great verse. I took the verse, I spoke it out to myself, I went over it and over it, God gave revelation from it. Now, when I read the Word of God, sometimes I might read one word. But God can give me revelation from that one word that changes my life. I don't need to read a whole chapter or a whole section. Sometimes I can stop with one word. Now I have the Word of God as a deposit in my life. So I walk around full of it. So now when I meditate on something, the Word of God starts forming pictures and truth, and it joins up and links up and forms connections, because I carry a deposit of the truth within me because I've meditated over it for a long time. All of us need to have that word. The word then, by meditation, becomes a doorway into vision and encounter and experience. And then we have encounters and experiences. Those encounters can be anchored in the word by going over it and making it important and stored in our lives. So the word becomes a doorway and it becomes an anchor. Now, we have this screen in our brain, in our right side, which is our imagination, and the heart, the soul, can project things onto that imagination, but also we have a spirit that wants to project things onto our imagination. And what we listen to the most will determine how we act and what we do. Who are we going to follow? Joe brought a word this morning, says God saying, choose this day who you're going to follow. Are you going to choose life or death? We have a choice every day to follow the direction of our soul or follow the leading of our spirit. And through meditating on the Word of God, we learn the process of flowing from a revelation of God's heart for us. So we can hear His voice, we can respond to Him, and some people hear audible voices, some people hear voices on the inside of them. Some people get impressions of what God is saying, so they get feelings of what God wants them to do. Some people see pictures, have visions, dreams, all sorts of ways. You know, I was saying last week that for the last 3 months, God has had me in a place of darkness under the shadow of His wing. And it's been warm, and I've been feeling the heart of God, but I'm not seeing anything. And for someone who's very visual in their thing of dreams and visions and heavenly encounters, it's been quite difficult. But two people, and one shared this with me today, another one shared it with me the other day, had dreams specifically for me. It's like one had a dream, he said, this is really random, don't really know what this means. Shared it with me, wrote it out, I read it, I thought, I know exactly what that means. Had all the images in there that God has used to speak to me in the past and affirm something to me, which was really important. Then Terry gave me a dream this morning, which stretched back 15 years when I had the same image of a war horse with armor and being on that horse. And there's different things he shared. So even though God wasn't giving me pictures and dreams, he gave them to other people, which is brilliant, isn't it? Specifically for me. And I think that shows how much God loves us and how much He values us. And basically teaching me, even though you can't see anything yourself, doesn't mean I'm not speaking. in a visual way. And so God wants us to understand how to flow in this stuff. Now, we've been looking at this picture of God's presence being within our spirit and therefore wanting to flow from his place in our spirit as we open the door to let him in. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens that door, I'm going to come in and fellowship with him, eat with him, dine with him, have relationship with him. God is on the inside of us when we're born again by the Spirit of God, and he wants to flow out through us. So we manifest his presence around us so that the world can interact with the kingdom of God. Now, there are loads of senses that go round in our spirit. Gates which God can flow through. Now, depending what your gifting is, what your call is, what your destiny is, some of those gates will be more used than others. Now, I spent a long time meditating on those gates. I would just picture a gate called prayer, and I would meditate on it and ask God to reveal to me, what did that gate mean? And I did that for all those gates there. I did the same for the gates in the soul, and the same for the gates of the body, until I had an understanding, a revelation from God, what that was, how it worked, whatever. And my experience is going through the process of opening those gates and learning how to allow the flow of revelation to go through our spirit to our soul and body will transform our lives. I was talking to Dave Sams on Friday night, and I taught him how to do this, and he was telling me how challenging it's been and how effective it's been in opening up his life to receive revelation from God, and also challenging the areas in his soul which are blockages to those things. Now, when you start to open up your spirit to start flowing with the voice of God, with the pictures of God and everything else, it starts to challenge the soul to allow God's spirit to flow through. And in that challenge, we have to start opening up those gates. Now, when I started to do this, I started to look at the combinations of things going from one to another. And I think there's 285, I think something like that, combinations of flow of God's life through my soul out from my body. And I spent a lot of time doing that. But it's opened me up to be able to hear God, to see God, and to flow in God so much more than I ever did before. It wasn't easy, and you know, the process is one of perseverance and practice, but as you see your soul, and you start to understand how the soul works, you'll start to find there are things operating in your soul which are blockages to the things of the spirit. And they may come to you as pictures. Some people, when they started doing this process, saw brambles and things all over these gates. They couldn't get them. Some saw chains. Some saw them all boarded up with wood and nails. And it was like, yeah, but I can't open it. I can't open it. And so there are things which can block those gates, which God wants us to open. But we have to go through the process. And it's like last time. I'm gonna finish there because I don't wanna go on any further because I've got quite a bit more to say on the subject. But I want to just encourage you every day. Open up the door that Jesus is knocking on inside you and let him in. Let him into your spirit. Invite him to be Lord of your life, and allow him to start flowing through the gates of your soul. So out around us, we start to change and transform our lives and how we live, and what goes on around us will become subject to God's kingdom flowing from us rather than what's around us. So things like sickness, we have to learn to overcome them and to be in authority over them. And that's something God is teaching us what to do. Other things like that. God's kingdom says this. When Jesus came, he was the model of the kingdom. He healed everyone who came to him from every sickness. He set everyone free who came to him from the demonic stuff that was operating in their lives. He brought people into fullness
of joy and peace and hope.
Now, for that to happen to us, we need to practice. All right? Doesn't just instantly happen. We need to practice. On Friday night when we were here, I saw some things in the spirit. On Friday night, I actually saw a whole angelic realm open up. I saw angels come through, and all the angels, and there was a big golden horse angel, fiery horse angel, that had loads and loads of yokes, golden yokes. Now, yokes, you know what a yoke looks like? It's like a thing that's put on oxen. Okay. And I saw that really clearly, and I thought, well, is this for? And I was flat out on the floor, not really able to get up and do an awful lot about it. So I was like, okay, is this for tonight, God? And I thought, no, it's actually for Sunday. So I saw that, and then this morning I actually saw, again, the oil of the Holy Spirit, which is called the anointing, which is the presence of God to perform his will and purpose. Now, Isaiah 10:27, it says, it shall come to pass that day, now take it for this day, okay, for you, that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder and this yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. God wants to today destroy the yokes and burdens that are on your life. Do you know what they are? Maybe fear, maybe a particular sin, maybe something from your past that's weighing you down and you're carrying around. Guilt, shame, condemnation, could be anything like that. Today, God wants to release his presence to break those yokes and to destroy the burdens that you've been carrying. And then he wants you to take a golden yoke and place it on your shoulders that those angels have been carrying. Do you understand that? So if you want to do that, let's just stand. And I just want to encourage you, as I pray, to picture and see anything that's a yoke that's been on your shoulders, that you've been carrying, or a burden which has been weighing you down, and specifically see that the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit is here, and the angels right now, I can see, have torches, and they want to set them on fire and consume those yokes. So I want you just to picture those things that you're carrying, the yokes on your neck and the burdens on your back. So the oil of the Spirit is flowing here in the room, and the angels, if you wish, will light and consume and destroy those yokes and burdens. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, just let the anointing oil just rest on your people here, soak them in your manifest presence, and just let the angels consume with fire every yoke and every burden, every yoke of rejection, disappointment, fear, hurt, pain. Let them be consumed with fire. Every guilt, shame, and condemnation, let it be consumed with fire. Every chain, be broken with the fire of the presence of God right now. Just see your burdens being destroyed, the yokes being destroyed from your neck. You can be set free from those things that have been holding you in bondage. Every addiction can be consumed with fire this morning. Now just let your presence come and consume the yokes and the burdens of each person here that they've agreed in cooperation with you. Now I want to encourage you to see there are golden yokes, the yoke of Jesus, because his burden's easy. It's light. It's your destiny. It's what you've been called to do, and who you are is associated with the yoke that you can choose to place on your shoulders. Because you can learn from him, because he's gentle and humble in heart, and find rest for your souls. So I'd encourage you to place that golden yoke, if you choose, on your shoulders and be yoked to Jesus so he can teach you your identity, your strength, and he can teach you humility, what it is to surrender to the plan and purpose of God, your destiny. And he will carry the load. He will direct your path. He will set your field and what furrow you're going to plow. If you choose this day who you're going to serve, are you going to serve your soul and the flesh, or the Spirit and the Holy Spirit? And for those of you, maybe you don't know Jesus, you've never encountered God in this sort of way, there's an opportunity for you today to engage with God, surrender your life to him, and receive his Spirit to be your guide, your protector and your director for the rest of your life, and to enter into your personal destiny. If you know you need to get someone to pray with you today, I'll encourage you to come and allow someone to pray with you, ministry team. If you feel you related to Joe's word earlier and that you need a relationship with God, go and see her and get her to pray with you. And I'd encourage you this week, just feel the lightness of the presence of God's Spirit with you, leading you and directing you, bearing your burdens, helping you and encouraging you in all the things that you're called to do this week. Just see it from a different perspective. Live from the attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, of praise. Amen.